Exactly how do we determine when an auto insurance premium is officially unaffordable? Well, the U.S. Treasury Department's Federal Insurance Office has the answer. When your auto insurance premiums exceed 2% of an area's median household income, it's unaffordable. A study from the University of Michigan has found by that standard, average auto insurance rates are unaffordable in 97% of all Michigan zip codes. Joshua Rivera is with U of M's Poverty Solutions. Okay, Joshua, 97% of all Michigan zip codes?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's an issue throughout the state. No one can hide from these high auto insurance rates throughout the state.
Did you expect that? I know you mapped out the cost of auto insurance to understand just what's happening in every zip code in the state. Did you expect 97%?
No, not at all. I would have expected that you would see folks who lived in communities were a little more high income. Folks that lived in maybe communities where folks were doctors, lawyers, you know, the suburbs of certain cities would have lower auto rates. But it's just not true. And the method that we did here for these rates is their rates collected assuming a typical driver, right? Maybe somebody around their 30s with kind of your average car. What's the rate that they're going to hit across all of these zip codes? What we saw is what is in line with statewide. We have some of the highest rates across the country, and almost every community is facing them.
And I know that we absolutely have to address the added burden on Detroit. If greater than 2% of median household income is considered unaffordable, let's all stop for a moment and think about what Detroiters pay, which is what percent of their household income?
12 to 36%, with the typical family paying 18% of income. And so let's put this in perspective. Folks often know, they know we have the highest rates. They know Detroit probably struggles with rates, but the median income in Detroit's around $30,000. And if you're spending 18% of your income to pay for car insurance, you might not prioritize car insurance. You have the bills to pay for your kids' education. You have savings in the bank you might want for college.
Food.
And so
rent.
Now we can understand why it's estimated that 60% of drivers in Detroit don't have insurance.
How does that Detroit rate compare to what drivers, let's say, in other Midwest big cities pay, like Chicago or Cleveland?
Yeah. So if you took a Chicago or Cleveland, you're looking at 2 to 4% of typical income there. And remember, Cleveland has a lower median income than Detroit. So even in cities that are comparable and a little poorer, they're paying less.
And it's keeping people from getting out of poverty how?
Exactly. There's really three main pathways here. The first is you may choose not to drive. And we know from surveys in the greater Metro Detroit area that folks without a vehicle say that 40% of them claim that they're likely to miss a work appointment or some other important appointment.
Because you're relying on public transportation, and there's a whole other conversation.
And it layers there. The second is that they'll maybe drive uninsured. And that places folks at a huge risk. If the state's going to mandate you have insurance and you get pulled over, you can face significant legal and financial risk that can just put you in a trap. What if you can't pay that ticket? What if you find difficulty just getting to court in the first place? And you can clearly see how that cycle perpetuates itself. But the last and most important thing is on people's budgets. They make these trade-offs every day. And so maybe that's investments that they can't put in putting their kid in childcare. And because of that, that kid doesn't get the best early education experience. All of these things are intersected together and making families pay more for things when they can be investing elsewhere.
But I also think that the focus, justifiably, on the huge burden on Detroiters makes it maybe, dare I say, easier for people outside to think, well, that's Detroit.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is a change in that conception. And that actually folks in the suburbs are saying, hey, yeah, I know that perhaps folks here are doing a little better off, but they don't want to pay $2,000 on average for rates. Nobody does. And if they're making trade-offs, that means that they can invest in their local economy in more productive ways. And so every single person has a stake in this issue.
Yeah, so we're really looking at this as a problem for all but the most affluent Michiganders.
And even in those affluent communities, we have to remember that there are low-income folks in some of the wealthier suburbs. They don't just disappear. And so imagine if you're trying to move to Birmingham, you're trying to move to a Dexter, and you just happen to be a little more low income, suddenly you're going to get hit with that auto insurance rate, and it just makes it that much harder in addition to your other costs.
Now, you've identified three major ways that this is hurting Michigan.
Yeah.
What are those?
Yeah. So the three major ways that it's hurting Michigan is, one, it just puts us at a competitive disadvantage compared to other states. We're making it harder to move within the state and making it easier to move out. We have to put this in the context of our interrelated problems, lack of public transit, the fact that our roads are in disrepair. Add on top of that, auto insurance rates, and you can see how motorists just pay so much out of their pocketbook compared to other cities. And let's also put this in the context of wanting to grow our population. If we want to get folks who are graduating college and looking for where they want to go home, if the first article they see when it comes to a place like Grand Rapids or Detroit is exorbitant car insurance rates, you're going to think about other cities. The second way that it hurts Michigan statewide is it just makes our poverty problem even worse. We know that we have around 1.7 million working poor households, according to United Way, throughout this state. For that working poor family, you know, if we think of a family of four at the federal poverty line, here's what would be an affordable auto rate for them, $515. Now, I want you to think about the last time you went shopping for auto insurance. Did you see anything approaching $515? And so if we don't have any affordable coverage, I think that the state needs to pause and say, hey, we have a special obligation, if we're going to mandate insurance, to make sure that people can afford it. And the third way it affects our competitiveness is businesses. They need to get workers to work. And if you talk to businesses all across the state, they're saying two things. One, the economy's doing great. But two, I struggle to get workers into jobs.
Yeah.
And so if workers struggle to pay those auto expenses, they're not going to fill in those key employment role that we want to do to maintain a low unemployment rate, but also make sure incomes are rising, which we know is a problem that we still have despite low unemployment.
So why is this happening and how do we fix it?
So it's happening because Michigan has a unique set of laws. It's overly complicated, but there's a couple things that we know about what to do in terms of reform. The first is there's about 12 states that have our form of no-fault auto insurance. But of those 12, we're the only that mandates drivers to buy unlimited personal injury protection. And the bargain that we made when doing that policy was we wanted to reduce lawsuits while making sure that folks get dignified coverage for when they get in accidents, which
well,
is a noble
well
goal.
Motived. Yeah,
it's
well,
a noble
good
goal.
Motivations, yeah.
But what we're finding is that we're not hitting either of those benchmarks. When you have 60% of the population in your biggest city without auto insurance, I'm sure that there's folks who slip through the cracks in terms of receiving that gold standard care. But the second piece is that we didn't reduce lawsuits. The system is rife with lawsuits and abuse and fraud, and anyone watching what's happening at the legislature has heard those stories. So we have to tackle personal injury protection. The second piece is we need to make the system fairer. We need to address the way in which rates are set so that folks don't feel like things outside of their driving record are being used to determine the rates for them. Things like your credit score, in which folks feel like maybe they're being punished just for being a little more low income. I think that creates a distrust in the system that we can really show leadership on and actually say, let's just have rates be set by things that are related to your driving record and not things that are not related to it. There's just a report from The Zebra that said women in this state are charged more for auto insurance because of their gender. And so we need to get rid of those demographic factors. And the last is we need to make sure that we have medical fee schedules, which is a little wonky, but let me explain. Right now, when you have a personal injury protection claim, your auto insurer is charged more than if that insurer was your private health insurance, your workers' compensation, or Medicare. What this means is that auto insurers get charged more by the hospitals, increasing the cost of the overall system and making us all pay for what could be very similar charges for things like ER scans or types of care that you received after an injury. By implementing that fee schedule, we'll create a level playing field that could drive costs low, and almost every other state that has no-fault insurance has done that. This is an easy win.
Everything you say steps on somebody's toes.
Exactly.
As we've watched this play out for years and years and years as Lansing tries to figure out how to fix this, and toes are stepped on and people squawk.
Yeah.
How do we get past that?
Well, I think for everybody who has a stake in the system, I think they all really know that at the end of the day, reforming the system is not a life and death decision for the insurance companies or the hospitals and their budgets. But reforming the system is a very important decision for families' budgets. And that decision is no harder than the budget decisions millions of Michiganders have to make every day just to meet the obligations of the state. And I think if we ground ourselves with those goals and say, actually, as a state, here are our values and our priorities, we want to make sure folks have access. The rest of it we can figure out. Everybody can sacrifice a little bit and show some leadership and get to the table with real solutions.
Are you talking to Lansing?
We'll talk to anybody, any legislature, any constituent, anybody who's just interested in understanding what's happening. We're open to talking to, showing them the rates in their community and showing them the trends that they have to think about. This is not just a problem that maybe you can kick down the road, but what do rates look like 5 to 10 years from now? What does coverage in Detroit look like? If it's already at 60% folks not having insurance, what does that look like by 2040? And when you start to have the urgency of those kind of problems setting in, I think we find an easier pathway to reform. And I'm confident that lots of folks have kind of looked at this and said, we know the system is broken, which is an important first step that wasn't said before.
And you are there with numbers. You've got data to say this, so you're not representing any one side. You've looked at numbers, and you reveal that 97% of all Michigan zip codes, it's unaffordable. That's pretty jaw-dropping. What kind of response have you gotten to this report? I mean, was my jaw the only one that hit the ground?
You know, I get two responses. The one is there's certainly people who they're figuring out this for the first time. I think particularly in, you know, communities where there's maybe a college town like Ann Arbor, this is the first time that many folks are hearing it. If they're from out of state or just moved to Michigan, you know, I moved here from Chicago. That's a trek that's not common. It's usually the other direction. But then if you talk to other folks, they say, we know this, but they appreciate knowing the size and scope of the problem and that having evidence could really help us right-size this problem amongst others. Should this be a first priority? Should it be second or third? Data can help drive you toward that decision, and that's what we hope to contribute to this conversation, which is for any question that comes up for people who are fearful of reform, we want to be there with you to make sure that you have the evidence you need to make an informed decision.
Joshua Rivera, who's a data and policy advisor with U of M's Poverty Solutions, the study revealing auto insurance is unaffordable in 97% of Michigan zip codes. Josh, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.